Well, let me read this. You can I guess go over to Mark 11:22. And I wanted to look at just the scriptural foundation that whatever God says is, whatever he says is, the scripture says that he sent his what? His word, and his word is what? Forever settled in heaven. Talks about in James that the Father of spirits is what? Without variableness or shadow of turning. So whatever he says is, it has to come to pass. And so it's not going to change. He said he changes not. But what man says may be. So you understand my point. In other words, what God says is. What God says is not a maybe. What God says is, not maybe. Now, if we get our minds corrected, if we get our minds adjusted, and we begin to get our minds and our hearts in line with God's word, and we don't doubt, then our words can be like his words, and they're not maybe, they're in other words, they're settled. Do you understand my point in that? That our words can be settled or is, not maybe. But God's word is, it's settled, not maybe. It's a settled fact, not maybe. So I just was looking at something from a book that we have. I think we sell it in the bookstore. It's called Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. And this is just a paragraph, but it was really, I thought, significant. When you talk about believing something and having your minds renewed, or having, you know, I know Pastor Greg has been teaching on having the right mental attitude. That's, I mean, if you really want to express it, you can say it that way, but it's having your mind renewed. If you have your right mental attitude, your mind's been renewed. Because when you say, I have an attitude, what is that? Well, what is that attitude towards? Is it the world's way? Or is it God's way? So having the right mental attitude, you know, people say, well, you should have a good outlook. What does that mean? What is that? What, when you say you have a good mental attitude, what does that mean? To somebody who's in the world, that can mean a whole lot of different things, right? But somebody who's a Christian, having the right mental attitude is thinking like God, thinking like his word. That's having a right mental attitude, right? Because the scripture says, be not what? Conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's having a right mental attitude, right? To think like him. When I think like him, Brother Hagin said it for as many years as he was on this earth. He said, if you think right, you'll believe right. And if you believe right, you'll speak right. And if you speak right, then your actions will be right, right? Or it'll affect your destiny and your direction in life. So if your thinking's off, your believing's off. And if your believing's off, then your speech is off and your actions are off. We see that in the world. I started reading this book over, you know, just having some time off. I just, you know, sometimes when you have time off, it gives you a slice of time where you can just read. And I've just delved into a couple of books. And the one book that we got, you know, directly, because we just have that relationship, was with Rick Renner. He sent us some books, his new book, and I would encourage, I'm telling you, I don't like saying I push, But every person ought to read this book that he's just come out with. This new book he's come out with, it's the best book he's ever written. It is absolutely the best book he's ever written. I mean, bar none. It's the best book I've read so far. I'm telling you. It's called How to Keep Your Head On Straight When the World's Gone Crazy. I'm telling you, he paints a picture of society today that has gone amok and has gone off the rails. And it's, I mean, he's telling you what scripture is. We're not going to change the things that are going on in this earth. I mean, we can have an impact, but when God says things are going to get darker and darker and darker, you're not going to change that. That's settled. It's going to get darker and darker. And just like when Brother Hagin said he was caught up in the Spirit, and that prophecy that was from 1963, you can go out on YouTube and listen to it, and there's transcriptions of it. When he said he was caught up in the Spirit and he was able to, you know, God showed him, it looked like a map of the United States. And he said he saw this little dot that looked like an ink dot, and it began to like smudge and spread out. And he said, Lord, what is that? And he said, it's atheistic, communistic thinking that has infiltrated into the minds of the people that are in charge or into the people. And he said, then it began to just spread all over the United States. And he said to the Lord, oh God, he said, is that all we have to look for? Is there nothing else we have to look for? And the Lord said, he said, my Spirit is going to be poured out upon all flesh. And so his point was saying that it's going to get dark, but we've got to realize that's what the scripture says. But he said, we're here as what? A light and salt in the earth. And so Rick Renner was sharing, a lot of what he was sharing was from Romans chapter 1. And I'm digressing a little bit here. I'll get back on track in a minute. But it kind of talks about where we are. And he said here, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And he goes on, but what he does is he starts to take those words and show you in the Greek language exactly what that means. And I'm telling you, it's powerful. It's absolutely powerful. And so where we are today is that people will tell you God's not real, he doesn't heal, he's not interested in people. And so when this says here that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And so when he talked about this, this was an interesting thing. He said, when this talks about they knew God, he said, this is not talking about an individual, although it could be. He said, this is talking about society. This is talking about society. It says, when they knew God. He said, it can mean an individual, but it really means in the context of what Paul is talking about, he's writing to the Romans, they are the society. And he said here, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What was darkened? Society. Their foolish heart was darkened. He said it can mean an individual, but he said it's really talking about society. Isn't that where we are today? Society is darkened. And then at the, and then in this book, in this beginning chapter, you know, and just he drew a relationship, not a relationship, but he started to talk about the history of the Holocaust and the persecution of the Jews in Auschwitz and all of these concentration camps. And he talked about, and here, painting a picture of where we are in society with men wanting to be women or thinking they're women or women thinking they're men. He said, all of this going on and then getting, as he says, in society here, thinking it's okay to be altered. He said, you're taking this here. He said, their foolish hearts are darkened. And so he starts to talk about, I never knew this, but he said back during that time, the Nazi doctors under Joseph Mengele were actually taking Jewish prisoners and playing around with their bodies, trying to alter them sexually, alter their bodies like they're doing it today, without anesthesia. They were cutting parts off of people, altering them, all under the guise of, we're going to make this super race or master race. You see the absurdity of it. And he said, we've come full circle around. He said, it's the darkness of society has embraced this idea that it's okay. What's wrong with that? And he said, now, his point was that the church is the salt and the light in the earth. He said, you can't just back up and back away. He said, now, does it mean, he said, we are to have compassion for those who are in darkness, but not shy away from the truth. Shy away that it's not right. It's not God. You're taking something that God has created and you're trying to alter it. So all of that even being said, when we talk about healing and we're talking about the healing power of God, God is, and God is real, and he is alive. And so when people want to stand up and say, I don't believe that about God, we don't have to fight with people, but we certainly do need to not back away from the truth. And of course, he goes on and he shares in this book about just where we are in society with people embracing some. He said, if you think, he said, because society is embracing extremes, he said, if you think what they did to the Jews in that time, he said, will pale in comparison to what society is beginning to march towards. Well, you can see it now. When they clapped in New York, when they passed a law to say, well, what's wrong with aborting a baby as it's coming through a woman's womb? So we as he said, 30 years ago, we would have been aghast at even the conversation. Now it's just out flaunted, right? So now's the time that we need to embrace the truth of God's word, not fight with people, but stand up for the truth. It may mean that you might take some heat for that. But just the things that are being embraced. And I tell you, every parent ought to read this because the school systems are trying to push this whole thing of, well, you know, whatever you want to be. Just be whatever you want to be. If you want to be a girl, be a girl. If you want to be a boy, if you want to be nothing, Now they're trying to push that some places are saying, well, we don't want to put the gender on a birth certificate. What? Are you crazy? Yes. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Society. That's what it's talking about, society. And so we need to certainly, when we talk about when this here, and I guess I'm sharing all that to say, I'm trying to get to this point, but F.F. Bosworth puts in here, he talks about having the right mental attitude. What does that mean? Not conforming to the world. Not conforming to these extreme ideas that it's okay to be a homosexual. What? Or a lesbian. What? And now if you say anything to the contrary, you're looked at as somebody that's racist. What? Or they, no, see, the reason they do that is they call it, they use that term because they say it's hate speech. That's what they say. In other words, you hate people. No, I don't hate people. That's the truth of God's word. And so that's what they call it. They call it hate speech or racist because you're saying something that's hateful because it doesn't conform to the way they think. And the way they think is not the way God thinks, and the way they're thinking is in darkness. You know, it's really interesting. I was watching, I'm going to get to this in a minute. But when we talk about having the right mental attitude, it's just an interesting thing. You know, I'm interested in just seeing what's going on, even with Kanye West. I was watching this long interview that he had with somebody. And then they had him on, you know, somebody did this, I guess one of these talk show hosts did, you know, he does these car karaoke things. And then he wanted to do something with them, with the choir, so they did it on a plane. So the whole plane, so they called it an air pool karaoke. So it was a little play on that, right? But he's sitting there interviewing him, and he said to him, you know, a lot of people are going to say, you know, this whole thing with Kanye West is just a put-up thing, you know, that he was one way yesterday, and today he's this way, and he seems to be awoke. And he said, what do you say to that? And he's just listening. And he said, well, he said, would you agree that when people are asleep, they're asleep? And he said, when people are awake, they're awake. He said, aren't those two different states? This is Kanye West. He's saying to this guy, he said, aren't those two different states? He said, yeah. He said, well, when people are asleep, he said, those are people that don't know God. I said to myself, really? He said, those are people that don't know God. He said, people that know God are awake. And I thought, real simple. So when you're in darkness, you don't know God. Your mind is clouded. So so let me read this. This is just a paragraph. It said, no person who allows his mind to be ruled by his senses can have victorious faith. The mind that is ruled by the senses lives in a realm of uncertainty until God's word gains mastery over your mind. Your mind will be swayed by feelings and by things you see or hear, rather than by the word of God. The mind and thoughts of those seeking healing must be renewed so that as to be brought into harmony with the mind of God as revealed in the Bible and pointed out in our healing literature. Faith for God's promised blessings is the result of knowing and acting on God's word. The right mental attitude or the renewed mind Romans 12:2, makes steadfast faith possible to all. God always heals when he can get the right cooperation. So the cooperation comes about, we cooperate with God's word, we have faith in it, we cooperate with it, and it causes God to move and heal. That's just another way of putting it. When we talk about cooperating, we're talking about faith. So when we cooperate with the word of God, that means I believe the word of God, I act upon the word of God, and it causes God to now say, okay, I'll do something. I'll do what I said. But you've got to believe what he said and act upon it. That's cooperating with it. Just another way of saying it. So now let's get over to Mark 11:22. And look at when we talk about we have to believe something before we see it. This is God has said something through his word, through his son Jesus. He spoke through him, just like he speaks through us. But Mark 11:22, 23, and 24, I want to really look at 24, but just in the context of all of it. And it says, and Jesus, reading from the King James, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Isn't it interesting, you know, every time you read the Word of God is what? Light, and the entrance of his Word does what? Giveth or bringeth light. It's interesting, I wanted to look at this, and here Jesus commands us in this scripture that we do what? We believe we have received the things that we pray for when? At the time we pray, and before they become visible. So he requires that we believe something before it takes on a manifestation or a visible form. He commands that we believe something that we can't see in the natural. So here, isn't it interesting, those two points are made in both verse 23 and 24. One is talking about faith from a saying standpoint, and one is talking about faith from a praying standpoint, but they're both talking about what? Faith. And faith here, when you look at verse 23, it says, shall do what? Believe that those things which he saith shall what? Come to pass. What does that mean? You don't have it yet in the natural. It doesn't say you shall say, you shall believe. What does it say? It doesn't say you shall believe those things which you can see. It says believe those things that shall come to pass. That means you don't see it yet. But you're to believe that you have it. Now look at verse 24. Same thing. He said that you do what? It says when you pray, believe that you what? You receive them and what? You shall have them. It doesn't say believe you have something. Why would you believe you have something if you already have it? You'd know you have it. Why would I need to believe for something I already have? This says you believe that you receive them what? them that, and it says here, them can be something that God has promised us. Healing would be something that would fall into that category. But you have to believe something that you don't have, something you don't see, something that's what? Not seen, or you would say something that's invisible. That ought to encourage us, because this came from the Master's mouth. This came from the heart of the Father God. He said, faith is what? Believing something just because I said it, just because I promised it. He said, you're to believe that, and what? You shall have it. Isn't that good form? That's good. So this says here, so when we look at this, this is really saying here that there's two forms here. One, we have to believe something that's invisible before God can act and make it visible. So we have to believe something that's not seen, which causes God to move and make something that's invisible in this natural realm visible or manifested. That would be another way of putting it, right? Isn't that the truth? So we have to do what? First, we have to believe that we receive something in its invisible state before we receive something in its visible state. You see the point? This is faith. We have to believe that we receive something that's not seen, or you could say it's invisible, before we see it. It shall come. And it says, you shall have it, or have them, what? In its visible form, or manifested form. So you could say, it says, as soon as we pray, it says, Mark 11:24 says, as soon as we pray, we're to believe that we have received it, not going to receive it. We have received it in its invisible state or form. When you pray, you believe you're healed, but in the natural, your body doesn't look it. It's you've received it. But this says what we pray for, and then God changes our body, right? It causes faith, it causes the anointing to be released in our bodies so that now it's what? It's visible. It's in its visible or manifested or material state or form. Let's look at some examples of this. Luke 17. Look at Luke 17. You can see this is a story, the account of the 10 lepers. Same thing. They had to believe. It says they lifted up, verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. You know, you could see that mercy is really the same word for compassion. It said, have compassion on us. Have mercy upon us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they did what? As they went, they were cleansed. So it wasn't an instant healing, was it? It wasn't immediate. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Here's another one. Let's go to John 11. This is the raising of Lazarus. So really, you know, again, just to as you're turning there, the 10 lepers had their healing in its unseen state, and as they went upon the word of God, went upon the word of Jesus, it became visible. They acted upon his what? His word. John 11 and verse 41, and then here, this is where Jesus is. This is the story of him raising Lazarus. But what did Jesus say here in verse 41? They took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said what? Father, he's praying now, I thank thee that thou hast what? Heard me. He's saying this so they could hear him. Thank you that you heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may what? Believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. So here's the point. He spoke that before it was actually seen, wasn't it? He spoke, I thank you, Father, that he's healed. I said this for their sake, but I know you hear me. And that was done before he spoke in faith, right? Lazarus, come forth. And so that was released before we actually saw it. So we're going to have to believe some things when we pray and believe we have something before we see it. That's the point of faith. Faith believes that we have something unseen or not seen. And it says, if you doubt not, you'll have it. You believe you receive when you pray. That was the point of highlighting this, that those two things, those two verses have the same characteristic of faith. You have to believe something not seen or invisible before it's seen. Faith causes God to then move or act and cause that which you believe you received to change. In other words, your body is going to change in this case. Healing will come. So we're to believe that we already have our complete healing in its unseen state or form before what? God changes it into invisible state or visible place or form. So we have to believe my body is healed, completely healed, before I see something. This is what people stumble on. They say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, look at Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. And I really wanted to look at this more so in the Amplified, but I'll read it from the King James. Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means you don't have it yet. The evidence, what's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of what? Things not seen. So that means I have to believe I have something based on God's word, something that's not seen. I like the Amplified. It said here, faith is the assurance, the confirmation. It says the title deed, I like that term, the title deed of things we hope for. It's the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality. So faith is the evidence or title deed of something, what? Not seen. Now this can go for healing. This can go for anything that's promised by God. Faith in God's word. Faith in something that's part of my covenant that I can take out and say, by faith, I don't have to believe that someday, by and by, it's going to happen. No, faith says, I have it when? Now. I have something now. I have my complete healing now. Faith takes what's already promised. What's promised? We'll get to that. But you can take the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, and you can look at every account in there, and those saints, in other words, their faith is expressed in something what? Not seen. You can see it every single account. They had to believe in something not seen before it became visible. They call those what? You hear that term? The heroes of faith. These are the faith hall of fame here. Every single account. Let's just read a few of those. Let's go over, and since you're in Hebrews 11, 1. I mean, every single one. It says, how? By faith, Enoch was translated. So that means he had to have that before he was. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. So he had to have faith just solely based on the instructions he was given to build an ark. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, what? Not knowing whither he went, where he's supposed to go. Through faith, Sarah herself did what? Received strength to conceive seed. I mean, we could go down all of these. By faith, Isaac, verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning what? Things to come. So we did this in faith according to what? Things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Jacob, worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And on and on. So the point is, concerning healing, we're going to have to believe, based solely upon the word of God, that I'm healed, my body is healed, and I've got to not only believe it, I've got to think it, I've got to believe, so I've got to get my mind adjusted. See, your body's going to tell you you're not healed, you're sick. The doctor said you're sick, and the doctor said this, and the doctor said that. It doesn't say that we don't embrace or consult or think about what a doctor says. It doesn't say we reject, but you place God's word first. When the doctor says X, Y, Z, you don't have to fight with him. You can say, okay, those may be the facts going on in your body. But God's word says, I'm healed. So now I've got to then say, my body functions in the perfection of God. Well, sure doesn't look like it in the natural, in the visible. But in the invisible, the eternal word of God says that I am. So now that eternal word takes precedent over this eternal, because it said the eternal look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are what? Not seen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. We're to look at the things not seen. It doesn't mean these things may not be going on in my body. But his word is full of power. It's eternal. And I have to say, no, that may be going on, but God's word is what? Working in me. His word is working in me, affecting a healing and a cure. That's my confession. That's the promise of God. That's his eternal word. And when I do that, I begin to have faith in the eternal. I have faith in the unseen. And that releases God's power to do what? Cause that which he said is so to be so. See, but I've got to change my thinking, which will affect my believing and affect my speech and affect my actions. So this is key here for us, that we get our thinking and our believing right. And when we get our believing right, we get our speech right. Now, real quick here, because we got a few minutes, because we've touched on this before, Isaiah 53, verses 3, 4, and 5, and 6. But verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." That's an eternal truth. That's an eternal fact that's settled as far as God's concerned. We are healed. Why are we healed? He just got done saying, He bore our griefs and our sorrows. What does that mean? These words, bore, means to take away and to carry off. He bore our griefs. He carried something. It means he bore the load of it. So he took that. So as far as God is concerned, healing settled. It's a settled fact as far as God's concerned. So what God says is. So I have to do what? I have to believe that it is, and it's a truth, and it's working in my body. Healing is working in my body. The healing power of God is at work in me. And so as far as God's concerned, this just like sin is a settled thing. For instance, when it says, in Isaiah, it says, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Because in Hebrews it says that he once went into the holy place. That's when in Hebrews 9, it says that he doesn't offer himself up often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year. It says because then he often would have to have suffered from the foundation of the world. But he once at the end of the world hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put it away. He put sin away. I like that term. He put it away. So it's settled. So that means the sin problem has been put away. It's a settled issue. It's a settled problem because God said it was settled. He said he laid it upon us all. And in Hebrews 9:26, it said he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So disease and sickness are settled because God said he settled them. He said he settled them. Why did he say he settled them? In Isaiah, he said Jesus bore what? He bore our sicknesses, or it says our griefs, and he carried our sorrows. So God said it's a settled thing. It's settled. So God sees us by his stripes, we are healed. So it's the end of the discussion. There really is no discussion here. It's settled as far as God's concerned. He put away sin. Sin and disease what's the word I want? They're one. One is an outgrowth of something. Something is the fruit of something. Disease and sickness is the fruit of sin. Just like health and life is the fruit of being connected to the vine. So I'm connected to the vine. This is what the scripture says. Think about it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if what? If any man be where? In Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So disease and sickness, sin was settled. I'm a new creature in Christ. We are what? The righteousness of God in Christ. So sin has no place in us. It can't lord itself over us. Sin, so the devil can't make you sin. You have to choose to sin. And so now, here's the key. Disease has no standing with the new creation. It has no place in the new creation. Sickness and disease does not. We are what? We are a new creation. We are a son. He called us a son. He called us what? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. So the mere fact here that Jesus paid the price, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows and said, by his stripes we are healed. Then as far as God is concerned, when he sees his body, he sees it as healed. He sees us healed. So don't consult or consider, don't take this the wrong way. When I say don't consider, I'm saying don't consider your what's going on in your body and compare it and place that above the truth of God's word. Doesn't mean we ignore things going on in the body. That's not what we're saying. When I say don't consider, that doesn't mean ignore what's going on in your body. If you need to get a test, get a test. If you need to get some counsel, get some counsel. But be open to the leading of the Spirit of God, because he's going to do what? His word is the truth. His word says what? You're healed. The healing power of God, he sees you healed. And just like we see in the Old Testament, does it mean we're going to live forever? No. At some point, we will give up the ghost. This spirit will leave this house. But I don't have to leave this house with sickness and disease. I hear so often, my parents told me this. They used to do hospital visitation kind of thing, and they would go visit people. They said they were visiting this woman. She was 105, 106. Yak, 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 yak. She read the paper, no medicine, no nothing, bright-eyed, sharp. And they said they went back to visit her. She just fell asleep. She just fell asleep with no sickness or disease. That's what I'm talking about. Why is that so hard to grasp? You know, it's interesting that if I said to you, I'll do something for you, and you believe that I'll do that, why would you accept my word over and not demand any proof that I'll do it, but yet we demand proof where God is concerned? Why is that? There's something wrong with that. If God said it, it's settled. That's it. It's so. His word is so. And that's our point, that whatever God said is so. And we have to do what? Embrace it, believe it, before we see it, just because he said it and his word is true. I mean, I love, hearing sometimes Pastor Hagin and, just knowing just a little bit of what they walk through, have had to walk through, are walking through. And he said, are there times you want to quit and give up? Yes. Your body will tell you, I don't want to do this. This is too hard. Just quit. Just lay down. And I like what he said. I will not be defeated and I will not quit. What does that mean? Does that mean you don't feel like quitting? No, there are times you do feel like quitting. But you have to resolve it in yourself that I am not going to be defeated. Why? Because God's in me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So sometimes when you feel like quitting or giving up or just saying this is too hard, you need to just make a choice that if God didn't say it's time for you to go home, you need to dig yourself in and say, no, I'm not quitting. No, I'm not going to give in. God is going to show me how to walk through this and get through this and come over it. And you just need to be just determined, because it's easy to give up, isn't it? It's easy to quit. That's the easy thing. It's just easy to say, this is too hard. It's too hard. But it takes some guts. It takes some courage. It takes some backbone to say, no, in the face, this is what we're talking about here. Faith says, I'm going to do this, and you can't see a way to do it. That's faith. Faith says, I'm getting over. I'm going through. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And all the senses and all the facts say, you're not going to. But faith says, we're going to do it. We're going over. We're going to get through this. I don't know how, but God's going to show us how. He's going to show us how to get over. He's going to show us how to walk in health. He's going to show us how to eat right, live right, and to function right. He's going to show us how to do that. And please don't, see, that's why I say, you know, when we kind of come around full circle here, when the world does not want to retain God in its thinking, it says when society doesn't want to do that, it gets turned over to what? A reprobate mind. Well, please don't, you know, when you want to go to get counsel from a doctor, that's okay. But the doctors are being coached by a society that's getting darker and darker. So you need to have the right counsel. You need to have a person that's open to listen to God. You understand my point in all of that? Because they could just say, you're dispensable. Don't worry about that. They'll give you medicine and just not care whether you live or die. You need to think about that. See? So when we think about, you know, yes, God and his word says, I am healed, but when I need some earthly help here, I want it to be the right kind of help. Because people today are getting, their minds are corrupted to the truth. So when I need that, I want to pray and ask God, what's the right path for me, Lord? What should I do? Right? Praise God. Amen. Let me just, since you're sitting there, you're not going anywhere. Let me just read this. This is something from Brother Hagin's book here. It says seven things you should know about divine healing. And let me just read this real short. But it says, healing is not always instant. He said, healing is not always instant. Sometimes it is gradual. By not realizing this, sometimes we make the mistake and lose out with God. Someone once said to me, Brother Hagin, in Bible days, people always got healed instantly. I love when people do this. It means they never read the Bible. I replied, this is Brother Hagin, what about the 10 lepers? The Bible says they were healed as they went. A woman wrote me, I came in your prayer line 10 months ago. You laid hands on me. I fell under the power, but I didn't feel any different. I had had a stroke that left me with no feeling in my left arm and leg. I had to get around with the help of a crutch. I guess people didn't think I got healed because I was still on that crutch when I left the meeting. But when I got about two blocks from the church, suddenly a warm glow came through my leg and feeling was restored to my arm and leg. Now both are all right. Not only that, she continued, but I had smoked cigarettes for 40 years. I knew it was wrong and I wanted to quit, but I couldn't. You know, I haven't had I haven't smoked another cigarette since you prayed for me. I haven't even wanted one. Glory to God, the power of God did that. You can't always tell at the time what has happened. Another example is a woman who wrote me several months after we had a radio rally in Texas. An arthritis victim, she too walked with the aid of a crutch, and she did not get her healing instantly after prayer. She said, I got back on my crutch, went back to the book table, then went to my car, laid the books on top of it, and was fumbling in my purse for my keys when suddenly I realized I'm healed. The manifestation came when I was standing beside the car. 2 months have come and gone, and I've not had to use my crutch anymore. I'm healed, and I want to thank you. The 10 lepers were healed as they went. The Bible also says that under the ministry of Jesus, the nobleman's son began to amend from the hour Jesus prayed for him. That's in John 4. What does that mean? It means that he began to get better from the hour he was ministered to until he was healed. And then it says in Mark 16, verse 18, the Bible says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So the point is that we have to believe when we pray, or we have to believe that we receive something when hands are laid upon us, or when we're prayed for. We have to believe what? We receive it then. We have it. And so we believe that we receive, and we do what? We keep our faith active by saying what we believe. I believe I've received the healing power of God when hands were laid upon me. I believe that the healing power of God was released in my body when I prayed, and it's working in my body right now. In Jesus' name. And you continue to say that and say that until you see what's not seen or invisible, you begin to see it manifested or made visible in your body. Amen. Praise God. Amen.